back. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in elementary school, and since then have turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So I hope everyone had a really healing full moon in Scorpio this past week. As I mentioned last week, it was definitely an intense full moon, but also a really powerful and transformative one if you're willing to work with those energies. I'm not going to lie, there are some moons and energies that I like more than others, and I really love the Scorpio full moon. I really like that clearing and up-leveling energy of going into the darkness and looking, like truly looking in the face at the things that, you know, you might have been struggling with that you really need to face in order to release and transmute them. And the Scorpio full moon is so powerful for that reason. And the fact that it was the last super moon of 2020, meaning the super moons are the ones that are the closest to the earth, and we see them very clearly. And we're obviously, our energies are pulled more by the super moons because they're that much closer in proximity. I have to say I'm so incredibly excited for this week's episode, especially for our guest, one of my favorites of all time, who's going to be sharing his insight on the current energies and the cards and practices that we can work with in this time. But before I get to that, which I have to say is the best part of this episode, let's quickly go back through our cards for the month as we're coming to an end of Taurus season and moving into Gemini next week. So let's look at our Taurus cards. First, we have the Hierophant, which according to the Order of the Golden Dawn is ruled astrologically by Taurus. And the Hierophant, aka the Oprah card, is kind of that teacher of life lessons and aha moments. I feel like these have been coming up for many, if not all of us, throughout quarantine. And the Hierophant energy kind of has a way of making us look at them, but also helping us to make sense of them, and which really encourages us to go into, like really look at it, face it. And that was really poignant in the Scorpio full moon. But in general, throughout Taurus season, we're going to be called to really face some things that we may have been tempted to numb or avoid or ran from previously. And these lessons really come in to help and heal and up-level us, even at times when they feel really shitty. It's really for kind of our highest good. And when we work with the Hierophant energies, it's kind of like, I always say when I'm working with this card, when I pull this card for others, it gives me the impression of the only way out is through. And often we are willing to go into and face these, they're less terrifying than the idea of them may be. And a lot of times when we may have avoided them in the past, it's because the anxiety of kind of what we thought they might be, what it might feel like, what it might look like is far worse than actually working with those energies. And it's kind of like an intense workout, or if you have to give a big presentation or take an exam. And when we go into those lessons, as well as the Hierophant lessons, with willingness and with grace, we always feel better after. And our second card of the month from our January 2020 overview poll also is really complementary to this, because we got the Empress. And the Empress is that strong, badass mother energy card. I drew her as Angelina Jolie, kind of in her Tomb Raider costume with all of her babies strapped to her in the Badass Bitches tarot deck. And because the Empress is really that creatrix and that embodiment of Venus, with both that strong divine feminine and that nurturing mother energy. And the Empress reminds us to be present and to kind of embrace those feminine energies of creating and receiving, while freeing ourselves of the burdens and temptations to rush and worry and plan. And for me personally, I've been working with the Empress card on setting an intention and then trusting the universe to bring it in the best way possible without trying to overanalyze or predict or, you know, force how it's going to come to fruition. Similarly, one of the things I put intention into in my Thursday ritual around that full moon in Scorpio was really releasing the temptation to worry about the future and how it's going to look and how things are going to play out, but to rather access, you know, the present moment and really look at how do I feel when I'm rating my well-being in each and every present moment rather than a projected version of myself in the future? So that's one of the things I love about this Empress energy. I love the divine feminine and the Venus vibes that she's bringing in this month. So before we move on, let's quickly look at our cards of the week. Okay, we have Three of Pentacles, but reversed. Cool. This kind of makes sense astrologically, actually. So in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this card shows a builder reviewing his plans with two other, I think they're supposed to both be architects, but there's three individuals, and from their body language, you can see they're all working well together, and they have a mutual respect for each other. We see this kind of union of their work represented in the three pentacles at the top of the pillar, the top little archway in the cathedral. And actually, I always like this card because it's one that the pentacles are subtly placed, and the pentacles are the same gray color as the rest of the stones in the cathedral. And I kind of wish that more of the art was done like this. It's a little more subliminal. But I mean, who the heck am I to criticize Pamela Coleman Smith's magical art? She did an incredible job. So they're all of the cards are beautiful, but I like the way that this was executed. Astrologically, Three of Pentacles is the card ruled by Mars in Capricorn, and they actually tend to work well together to build and get things accomplished. But again, we have the reversal this week. I pulled the Three of Pentacles reverse, and that can cause disconnected communication, kind of not understanding, not being able to see eye to eye, to stand in the way of progress. The reason I said this makes sense to me when I just pulled it is because I think we talked about this last week on the podcast. We're headed into that Venus retrograde this Wednesday, which can affect beauty, love, and often relationships more than anything. That retrograde definitely affects our relationships, whether romantic or personal. So if you're feeling edgy or annoyed by someone you might be quarantined with, it makes sense that it may be as a result of Venus's retrograde and also the fact that we're getting Three of Pentacles reversed for our card this week. But the clues to resolution in Three of Pentacles are making sure to communicate with clarity and with kindness. And if emotions and tempers are running high, it's okay to step back and reassess, like the architects that are double checking the floor plans. I did have some awesome questions come through this week that I promise I will address on the next episode, but I want to be able to share as much of our guest wisdom with you as possible. I'm so excited he's here. So back by popular demand, as he was one of the highest rated guests of the entire podcast, and because he is truly one of my favorite healers and humans on the planet, shamanic healer, teacher, tarot reader, and artist, Christopher Beaver. Hey, Christopher, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm so excited. I've mentioned this to you. There's been so many people that have continued to comment on your episode that reach out to me just to say how inspired they were, or things that kind of really opened their practices as a result of the things that you shared. So I thought now more than ever is the perfect time to bring you back. And I'm glad that you had time, and I know you're very busy schedule, to talk to us today.
Well, thank you. I know it's very busy, but I think we have nothing but time, and now we don't have any time whatsoever.
Yes.
We have a big joke in our house and in our spiritual circle that we're finding out that all of these projects that we've been putting off actually had nothing to do with time.
Oh, it's so valid, because you see very quickly, yeah, you see very quickly what your energy is pulled to and what feels like, yes, I still want to do this, or things, for me, on the contrary, things that I did out of kind of routine or like I'm supposed to do this, I was like, oh, I don't have to do that anymore. Like, that's just a narrative that I had, but it's not even necessary. So I've kind of also dropped some things that weren't necessary as well.
My teacher used to call it absent-minded uses of energy.
Yeah.
And so it always made me laugh when it was just the idea and the identification of knowing that we're doing something out of a routine and we're actually not really conscious about it, even if it's something that is important, like making dinner or eating or digesting. You know, it takes energy and focus, even though it can happen on its own. It's an automatic process. Digestion, but we have to pay attention to that. So now we're starting to get really more aware of what it is that we're doing, what it is that we like, what it is that we don't like, and it's starting to actually affect us, and we're starting to make different choices now. So
yeah,
yay for this, for that.
Yes, I'm grateful for that as well. So yeah, one of the first things I wanted to ask you, I mean, there's a, every time I get the, I'm grateful enough to speak to you and get the opportunity, I have a million things and I'm sure I won't get to them all, but just for everyone that listens, I go through obviously cards of the month by, you know, astrology and the Golden Dawn and cards that I pull for the week. But in this time, are there any cards specifically that are, that you think are helpful to work with or to embody?
Oh, that's a really fascinating question. So the very first place that my thought is drawn to is most likely the Six of Cups. And I tend to think of that card as generosity and childlike appreciation for situations and relationships especially. We talk about the pathway of the heart in my traditions, and we talk about the four major archetypes, which is the archetype of the warrior, the child, the healer, and the elder. And so if you think about each chamber of your heart being a direction on a wheel, then the warrior comes into the east, the child is the south, the healer is the west, and the elder is the north. And so we talk about having a deep interaction of these archetypes in order for us to be in our heart and have that deep kind of exchange. I always ask people, who really runs the show in your system? Mm-hmm. You know, who's running the show? Just like we could go into a whole debate on what really drives your proclivities, like is it really bacteria or virus that's really saying you want sugar, you want this, you want that?
Right.
We have archetypes that are templates of knowledge or information that is embedded inside of us, and we kind of come from that place. We're already a little susceptible to those influences. So why I say the Six of Cups is that I think it brings us back to that moment of that we get an opportunity to see the world from a very innocent point of view. You have some people right now that are experiencing this period of time as with a lot of anger, and I am very lucky. I practice a lot, and I've been able to have a more secure lifestyle in that way. So for me, this has been an opportunity to do inner work as opposed to being in the anxiety of what's going to happen to my job, etc. Above and beyond that, if we have the opportunity to look into this, I think what we can do is kind of go into this place inside of our child and look at the world in as much of an innocent and gentle way as we can, realizing that we need help. Mm-hmm. See, a child can't live in the world without an adult to take care of it. Mm-hmm. It has to have a relationship of dependability. It needs to depend on someone. And I think that this is really important because I can't tell you how many people I sit with and I ask them, you know, well, what would it be like for you to ask for help? And they, oh, no, you know, I can't ask for help. You know, like every time I did in my life, I was let down and I was betrayed and, you know, the whole world came to a fucking end. And, you know, and I've never forgotten that. It's like, well, yes, that's true. That might have happened to you. But that still doesn't mean that we don't need some sort of connection in this world, some sort of relationship, because we're constantly in relationship. Whether we're somebody's child, brother, sister, lover, mother, father, friend, teacher, student, we're constantly in relationship. So when I think of the Six of Cups, I also think of it as a genuine desire and a genuine need to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And to receive and to let something outside of you nourish you. This is one of the biggest questions that I like to ask people is what nourishes you? Like what actually feeds your soul? What really nourishes you? What do you do on a day-to-day basis that nourishes you? And how do you take care of yourself that way? Mm-hmm. I think this is a really important question. Like you said earlier, some of the absent-minded routine or some of the things that you find out that you just don't care about anymore, you actually might have come to a place where you found, this isn't nourishing to me, so why am I doing this?
Yeah,
I thought it was, everyone told me it was, my mother thought it was, whatever the case might be, whether it was inherited or society or even you trying to graft and compare yourself to someone else and pick up a habit. It's something deep within us that we get to ask, why do we do this, and is it nourishing for ourselves? So that Six of Cups to me has this idea. I need help. I want to receive. I need this support. I need someone out there to return energy to me. Mm-hmm. And I think of that as such a gift. And how many people have a hard time receiving something. How it throws them into a process, even. Like, here, let me do this for you. And it fucking triggers you beyond belief, and you can't receive anymore. And you start to go into this, like, from the simple act of somebody going, let me do this thing for you. And you want to get into a relationship at some point in time, but you can't receive. None of this stuff makes sense to me. You know, I always think that we have to realize that, yes, emotions might be this abstract phenomena, but they also have to make sense. We have to see that there is this interconnection to them. It always makes me chuckle when someone says, I really want to be in a relationship. And I think of the Six of Cups, actually. I think of the sweetness and the purity of it, the kindness and the softness. And then I go, well, how are you receiving? And they go, I can't do it. And I go, well, that's kind of a problem. Don't you think? Like, you're going to want to depend on someone, but you can't receive help, or you can't ask for help, or you can't do this. And so I think that that card is really, even though it's overlooked, it's a very minor card. I believe in like some sort of gypsy witch traditions, that card would be interpreted as a sudden windfall. You know, like a lottery win, like you won $50 on a scratcher and you never buy a scratcher, or somebody dropped off, you know, an old check came out of nowhere. It kind of talks about a fortuitous time in the stars. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think it goes much deeper. I look at it in the psychology of the human being, and I think it touches this really tender place. So I find that card to be really interesting right now. I also find the Queen of Swords, one of my favorite cards, hands down.
Yes.
You know, the ultimate card of cutting through delusion. Mm-hmm. In a lot of indigenous cultures, they talk about the dismemberment of Maya. Maya being illusion. And I believe that it's part of that process, that the Queen of Swords has this kind of ability to cut through all of the things that we perceive as being real, we perceive as being valuable, we perceive as being important, and really cutting through that and coming to the truth. And that can be really painful. That card actually has a lot of pain. You don't get to be a queen by accident. You're usually killed. You know, like, you don't make it very long. You know, you're usually tossed out of the court somehow. So there has to be a certain level of maturation that comes through. So I find that card very important right now. What is real for you? Because in this class I teach right now, I'm asking everybody, what do you want to get out of this? Because we're going to come out of this. We're going to get through this. That is the nature of an epidemic. It comes through. Mm-hmm. It's a true acute. We go into crisis and we either survive it or it kills you. Mm-hmm. Now that's not a pleasant discussion, but that is actual medicine. That is the definition of an acute illness. Mm-hmm. And so this will go through. We will have to deal with this. And what do we want to get out of this? Where do we want to be when we get to jump back into the stream of life? Because I genuinely believe life is still going on. Life is still traveling. It's going to be summer. We're going to be going down this pathway of time. We're going to have to integrate wherever life is down the road. Life isn't going to go into a suspended animation like we have been asked to do, or a hibernation. Mm-hmm. So when we come out of it, where do we want to jump back in? Where are we going to jump back in? And this is why I think these practices, or using something like a tarot deck, is really important right now to give us the imagery to hold on to create a focus. Where do I want to be? Do I want to be in that state? Do I want to be in this state? And the tarot gives you a profound set of images that you can draw from. It embodies every dynamic of life, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, even archetypal. So it gives you a really profound element to go through. Right now, I'm telling a lot of people to read The Hero's Journey by Joseph Campbell.
I love that. Yeah, because I read it as a result
people,
of the work.
This is really heroic for them. Like, they're going through a very dark process full of fear, and they're conquering lots of fears, and they're going to have to conquer more of them.
Yeah.
So I think it's good for people to tap into that and find that inner reservoir mm-hmm. of strength. And, you know, maybe this is an important time for certain people to make the choice to follow their bliss or change their life, or they're going to have to change their life.
Yeah.
I could talk on and on
about
this. I'm
sorry.
No, I
love that. No, thank you. And it's funny because I had referenced The Hero's Journey when this all started, because it's something I read when I was much younger and then revisited in my work with you. And I find it so incredibly powerful. And we just see representations of it like everywhere and throughout our lives. So I think that is something to revisit, even if you've already read it at this time. And I loved your selections. Six of Cups. It's funny. I always, when I reference that card, I talk about how it's kind of, it feels like home in a good way. When you talked about childhood, it's like whenever you felt taken care of. And sometimes that's not our bio family, sometimes it is. But that, you know, that feeling of that being able to receive. And I recently had a moment where my dog was really sick, and I'm very like, always, I live on my own, I take care of myself. And I had that, like, I just need help. Like, I was waiting outside the vet because you can't even go in. They basically come out in a hazmat suit and grab your fur baby. And I was like, I just need help. And I posted on Instagram, like, any of my healers, anyone who can send light or Reiki to Lola right now, like, I would really appreciate it. And I felt that shift. And I was like, you know what? We don't do that enough. We don't ask for help. And it was so, everyone who felt called to do that, it was something that they had to give. They had that energy, they had that healing. And I think Six of Cups, it is a time to really be able to ask when you need it and be open to receiving. I think that's such a beautiful, I love that. Absolutely.
It's an interesting moment for the nature of finding out how we connect to community. It's interesting that we're having to ask for help, but under most circumstances right now, we're asking for help from a real desperate place because that's where we are.
Yeah.
But when we come out of this, what would it be like to continue to have that ability to ask for help, to feel like we have a community, to feel like we're being supported, to feel like we have a network, a system around us of kindness, and even if it's from strangers. Mm-hmm. And I know I live in a small town, and I don't know every single person in my town, even though I've lived here numerous years. But I would like to be able to feel like I could walk down the streets of my town and get help if I needed it, or be able to ask for help. So I think we're starting to realize that we can start to ask for help for a much more empowered place.
Yeah.
That will actually build deeper, more dynamic relationships.
Absolutely. And I think it's opening up people to give when they're able and to ask when they feel called to ask. And I've seen a lot of that in the city of New York, and I'm so grateful. I'm like so proud of my city and seeing that represented everywhere. And I loved it. Before I go move forward, I just wanted to like big shout out to Queen of Swords. That is Judge Judy in my deck. And I love that because it's like, I think that discernment is so important right now. And it's so important to be able to just like call bullshit, like Judge Judy on things that don't feel like truth to you. And that may not look the same for everyone, but to just be able to kind of go within and be like, I'm not sure I'm going to question, and I'm going to have very high discernment in situations. And I think that's very Queen of Swords. And I know she can get a bad rap for kind of being like the cruel or the cold queen, but she's powerful. I mean, like Judge Judy, you don't mess with her, you know? I love that.
I think that's a powerful thought process there. So we look at it in this way. We say that God is five primal powers. We say it's life, death, birth, decay, and creation. And so these are the elements that rule and guide nature. They're also the same energies that live inside of our body. And so our cells are being born, birthed, decaying, living, dying all the time. In every single moment. So as it is within, so it is without. I know that you practice Wicca and paganism. So let's really look at that idea for a moment of as it is above, so it is below, as it is within, so it is without. Mm-hmm. So when we look at as it is above, we look at what is this template that is greater than us, that allows us to be in a receptive place, much like a child. Part of that is understanding what is our size. How big are we? Are we trying to be too big for a situation? Are we trying to be too small in a situation? So when we open up our arms and we extend and we crack our chest open and we throw our head back and we say the words, as it is above in heaven, we understand that there is higher consciousness, a template, a spiritual dynamic that we're bringing down to earth. That same old saying that there is no hell, hell is here on earth, and it is what you want to make out of it, right? Mm-hmm. So that we believe that this reality is indeed where we're working out our spiritual beliefs and spiritual contacts. Mm-hmm. My teacher used to say, God doesn't test you. God's not personal. You know, God doesn't test you at all. It's you testing you.
Yeah.
So as we say, as it is within, we're actually learning to touch into those elements of those five primal powers that everyone's trying to control at some point in time. And we're realizing that that's our relationship to nature. As it is within, so it is without. So when we come into this place inside of our body and we touch into those energies, we're realizing that we're connecting to nature. And nature isn't always pretty. I understand that most people think of nature as calm, quiet, serene. They think of it as like the Bambi in the moonlit field near the lake with the stars twinkling in the sky and the little thumper next to it. And you know that that's nature, right? But nature is also the baby eagle pushing the other eagle out of the nest to its death. Mm-hmm. So that it gets enough food to survive. And nobody wants to talk about that nature.
Right.
And nobody wants to talk about how, you know, a certain consciousness of tree will actually shut off water to kill other trees so other trees live and survive. But there is this more primal energy in nature. That energy is embodied in some of the tarot cards. And we as society have interpreted those energies as being terrible, bad, cold, bitchy, manipulative, uncaring, uncompassionate. And I don't think that that's right. If you look at many traditions, this is going to get a little matriarchal and, you know, into this process of it. But if you look at a lot of traditions, the god of death is a man. And those were birthed in patriarchal societies. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to me that we have taken something like that and turned it into an evaluation, a critique of your life.
Yeah.
In Egyptian traditions, your soul is weighed against a feather, you know, and if you're heavier than a feather, then you don't get to pass on. Well, I can tell you, I'm heavier than a feather.
Yes.
You know, I am a whole duvet, you know, like pain and cry, you know, I'm fucked for numerous lives from here forward.
Yes.
Same. You know?
Yeah.
So in the matriarchal societies, though, death was female and it was more about returning into and becoming a part of and transitioning from one world to another. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's really interesting that we have this idea that things that have discernment or things that are clear and cutting, we think of it as painful or harsh or not a part of nature. And I understand that. But I also think that there's sometimes that we have to cut the infection away. Mm-hmm. That we have to make a choice. Do I cut my arm here at my wrist or do I cut it up at my shoulder?
Right.
Where do I stop this process and where do I make that decision and have that discernment? And so I always teach my students when we talk about this that nature is indeed beautiful and birthing and wild and dominant, but it's also dynamic. My teacher, when I first started practicing, she made me stick a seed in a pot. And she said I had to sit and meditate with this seed until I could hear it screaming for life, trying to break ground. And I didn't for months and months and months. the seed sprouted. I had to get another seed, replant it. I didn't hear it again. It sprouted. You know, I had to make sure I watered it, tended it. And I had to do this over and over and over again. I think it took about 4 or 5 months before I could really, and I don't know if I projected this. I don't know if I made it up because I wanted to get to the next assignment. And I didn't think I was accomplishing this. But I could finally feel or hear that sprout breaking through the seed and pushing through the ground. And I finally realized, like, it too is fighting for life.
Yeah.
And it really blew my mind. Like, all of these things around me are fighting for life.
Absolutely.
Whether you're my best friend or a psychic vampire, or back in the old days, you used to be both. But, you know, oh, I don't go anywhere now without holy water, salt, and an iron cross. I'll tell you that. Like, if I meet somebody, I throw some water on them, see if their skin bubbles, throw some salt at their feet, see if anything happens,
yes.
Iron cross to see if they burn. Like,
yes.
I don't trust myself. So I have backup options. But I think that, you know, back in the day, when I had this experience, it really pushed me to see that everything around me is really trying to fight for life as well, and that nature is much more dynamic than that serene little concept. So when we see these difficult cards coming up in a reading, like the Queen of Swords, mm-hmm. like the Seven of Swords, I hate to always reference swords when I think of difficulties, but because that means it's just our mind. Right? It's a battle of our mind.
Well, Five of Cups I find challenging. There's some Cups cards that are challenging too. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, the Five of Cups is a great card.
Yeah.
I think that that's a lovely card because that card talks about our focus,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And our intention and where we're holding our focus.
Well,
so I think we need to bring those kinds of energies in to what it is that we're doing and looking at. And realize that they're a part of this more dynamic circle, and that our spirituality should also be like that. It should be the lathe that we turn ourselves on.
Mm-hmm.
It should sharpen us. It should push us into those. So we have to welcome those cards, even though we don't like them. I still, to this day, I think I said it last time, I hate the Three of Swords. I still hate it,
yeah.
You know, but I get it enough. Where it's like, you have the gift of feeling. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. I'm glad. Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel so honored that I have the gift of feeling. I'd rather not today.
That's so true.
I can have my choice. I'd rather not.
That's so true. Well, I feel like, I mean, I have the same relationship with Three of Swords and almost all the Fives, but I do think once you face them, it's a lot less terrifying. I used to be someone who would, like, run or numb with substances, and when you actually face them and do go into it, it's less terrifying than the imagination of what it would look like in your head, you know?
By far.
One of the things, and you kind of touched on this just in addressing those energies, that I wanted to talk to you about is I felt like in the beginning of this, at least, and this is just from my perspective, I was seeing a lot of unity and a lot of people coming together, which I still do in many ways. But then as we've moved through the situation, I'm also seeing a lot of polarization and duality of people's own truths of this is real, that is not real, this is what you need to be doing, this is what I feel that I need to be doing to feel safe, so you need to be doing it. And I know that one of the things I've learned through you and through my work with plant medicine is really practicing, like you expressed this beautifully, the need for light and dark, and really a view of neutrality. So what are your thoughts around that, and kind of how to navigate this duality and this polarization that we're experiencing, just as viewpoints and kind of people telling each other how to live or what is the right way right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay, so I'm going to try and approach this from numerous different angles. So let's look at this as with your words and your languaging. Let's look at the idea of unity, and let's think about how we're born. We're born as one cell, right? So everything is there, and then what happens? That cell divides and becomes two cells. It's interesting that in most people, there is this sense of division, and there is a sense of dynamic polarity and sides and paradigms, which is opposites, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's all trying to return back to this one. right? You know, I can't tell you how many times over the years of practice and sitting in circles as a student and a participant and as a leader, I hear people talk about this very profound, deep existential crisis. And also this, I want to go home. Like, I want to be back in that oneness. I want to be back in that place. So I think that that's really born. We're born with this idea. Like, we start as one, and then we split into two. So we start in this place of unity, and now we're dividing into this polarity. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we're going to have divisions and divisions and divisions and divisions and divisions, just like Christianity, right?
Right.
You know, like, we'll have this, we'll have Methodists, Lutherans, yeah. Protestants, so on and so forth, so on and so forth. Just dividing, right? So I think that what we can stop and look at right now and say is that our job right now, instead of telling people what to do, is to really be in our hoop. We have an expression and a saying that we live inside of a hoop. So if you were to imagine a hula hoop on the ground and you were standing in the middle of it, we would say that this is your space and you need to see what the fuck is in, what is in your space and what you're holding on to in your space and really being conscious of what you have there around you. Because we would say, and we say this sentence very slowly, because people don't like the sentence, that your only job in life is to learn how to fill this hoop with your energy. And so we use that as a mantra. What would it be like to get your nose out of their business, God's business, and just take care of your business? Mm-hmm. And stay in your hoop and really learn how to fill this space. Even if you have children, even if you have partners, relationships, you still have a responsibility to fill your hoop with your energy and use that as a means of creating your own navigational system. There's a theory in shamanism that I just love because I think it's so true. And I don't know how I know this, but I know my body tells me this, is that we're all migrating. And mm-hmm. that we're migrating our way through life. And I think of these butterflies that can migrate 2,500 miles. And we don't even think that they have a brain. We just believe that they have a central nervous system. But yet, somehow, they can navigate through all of these invisible forces, electromagnetic lines of energy, and travel thousands of miles. Mm-hmm. And arrive at this place that lives inside of them, some sort of universal truth for that species, just like a salmon spawning and returning home all that time later to spawn. It will return back to where it was born. That's a fascinating metaphor, I believe. We look at it as called something called doctrine of signatures. It means that there's a signature out there and we are literally embodying in the same way. And so I believe that somewhere inside of us, we are all navigating through life and we're migrating to a certain place, which brings us into a very simple concept about trajectory. You know, it makes us look at where is our intent, where are we setting it, and how are we going to get there? We might not know the path, but we need to know where we want to end up. And if you can't imagine what that looks like, you can definitely tell me what that life feels like. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely tell me the qualities you want to have in that life and why they're important to you. So no excuses. You know, people like, I don't know. No excuses. If you can't imagine it, you can describe what it would feel like to be in that life. And if we use that as our North Star, then we will hopefully, with time, be able to see all the choices we made and the things that we did, how they were all taking us to that place, because we hopefully arrived there. So I really believe that right now, when you talk about the light and the dark and really seeing it, we're beginning to see the division, right? Now you have the people who say, you should be like this, and you should be like that. And then we have other people go, well, yes, you should be like this, but not like that, and more like this. And some people going, so on and so on and so on and so on.
Absolutely.
Again, it's just this division. It's this process that's going on a cellular level in our body all the time. And now we have to get out of that dynamic in order to really see it, we have to get back into this place of going, so regardless of all of that, where do I want to be? Mm-hmm. How do I want to get there? Where do I want to end up out of this? And I'm playing what we call the long game. You know, I'm looking at this like, so in 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, a year from now, mm-hmm. where do I want to see myself being? What do I want to see myself do? I give assignments. The last assignment I gave was, what would it be like if for the next 2 weeks you made absolutely no excuses? You just did what you said you were going to do, mm-hmm. whether you liked it or not. And it's really interesting because we'll immediately start to make excuses.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I also, like, it's funny because that was another thing, and you reading my mind that I wanted to touch on was that I felt like when I worked through the hoop practice as a morning practice every day, which I still do, when I first started working with you a couple years ago now, that was literally like boot camp for what's happening now, because it really does teach you to stay in your energetic field and to, like you said, you're keeping your nose out of everyone else's business and everyone else's energy and really kind of existing and magnetizing from that place. I really feel like the one thing that came up for me as soon as the social distancing was implemented was like, do you think that that's going to help people have a more conscious understanding of people that don't even practice this, of the like how energies affect each other? Because it's literally now we're being much more aware of what is around us physically. And, you know, do you think that that will heighten people's awareness of their own even physical hoop, if nothing else? Mm.
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, it's a really fascinating question you ask. I honestly don't know how to answer that, because there is a part of me that goes, yes, I want to be able to be in my hoop, have my boundaries up, and be very clear about filling my own space. But I also want to be sitting next to my husband.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Of course.
I'm sure he'd be really happy to hear that finally. but I want to be in relationship with people.
Of course,
and
yeah.
I do think that this idea of physical distancing, I do think what it will do is it'll bring people back to a conscious awareness of how close do you want to get to something? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a person, an idea, what do you want to bring into your space? Mm-hmm. Again, whether it's a person or idea.
Yeah.
And how do you want to live in that space? So I do think it will bring us back to some sort of internal awareness. And I'm really curious how this plays out. Mm-hmm. When this first happened in March, when we first started having this in March, I believe it was right around March 1st, I spoke to some elders and they went, oh, you know, like the Earth Mother needs to have some environmental cleansing. Mm-hmm. And so they made a comment, that they said it's like Mother Earth sent all of the children to their room and grounded them for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And said, go learn what you need to learn to take better care of everyone on the planet and me, and then you get to come out.
Yeah.
And I laugh at that a lot, because it's a gentle way of looking at what's going on.
Yeah.
And it might be naive, and I'll take that for this moment, that it's naive, but it reminds me of going, right, this is going to be about becoming very conscious of our relationships and how we manage our relationships and the effect that those things have. And what kind of effect do we want to be creating with ourselves, with someone else?
Yeah. Well, I think that it's, you know, that really has heightened my discernment in that, I mean, before any of this happened, working with the hoop practice, but now it's kind of like, okay, now we trained for that and now we're playing the game. And I feel like the hoop practice and my work with plant medicine have both prepared. It's the closest thing that could have prepared me for this. When people are like, nothing could have prepared us for this, I'm like, that's the two things in my life that felt prepared me a little bit. And I think that it has really helped me, it's sharpened my discernment and my intuition of, you know, stopping to rely on other people's permissions or other people telling me what to do. And just really, like, I have to know what's right for me, and that it's also, that's not necessarily right for anyone but me. But, you know, getting, like you said, back to what does it feel like where I'm going? What is, you know, what is it? What are the feelings that I want to experience, and what the type of person I want to be in the world and in relation to others? And that's where I'm operating from, independent of anything else that's kind of being thrown at me from the world. Mm-hmm. No, I think that so thank you. That was like, yeah, you, as always, you answered everything that I wanted to address. Is there anything else that you wanted to share? I know that you're still, I don't know if you even have any openings, but I know you've been still teaching classes virtually through this time. Do you have any offerings that there are openings in? Because I get constant questions from listeners and from people that follow my social media about you and how they can connect with you.
That's very sweet. Yeah, you can go ahead and get a hold of me, because there will be more classes that are coming up via Zoom. I felt a call to action about a month ago, and I put it out there, and I did a charity event, and there's probably about 150 people in this one class that I do on Saturdays now, just to help people kind of plot their way through this process. And I have a feeling that I'll continue doing it for a while longer. So anybody can get a hold of me, and I'll make sure that they get their information. But I wanted to offer you, since we're on air doing a tarot class or a tarot lecture, if you could ask a question, what would you like to ask?
Oh my goodness, I'm so honored. Okay, that's incredible. I think... what is the best kind of use of my gifts and my abilities to the world in the immediate future?
Okay. All right, so I'm just going to take a moment here, shuffle the cards. Take a deep breath. And when I do a reading, I set my intention for the highest option possible. I set my intention to really try to talk about what's in your highest option possible. Because that's actually getting out of our agendas and trying to move into something that's bigger, to give ourselves a glimpse to see something like this. Okay. Here we go. Okay. So you have a very interesting reading here. You have three cards: Temperance, the Ace of Swords, and the Death card. So it's interesting that out of three cards, you have two major arcana. So actually, that usually indicates that this situation or this question that you're asking about has more importance or more heft than you might have imagined. When we look at this card or these cards together, the first thing that I see is that I think that there is an old life that's dying. When I look at Death and the Ace of Swords together, it is about a construct, something that used to be. And the Ace of Swords is a new idea, a new path, a new direction. So during this window of time, there is a very clear departure from the old into something new. And it was something that you never thought you had time for. Temperance, one of the jokes that I like to tell people that read cards is I go, Temperance usually says it was something that we never had time for, because Temperance is always trying to juggle all of the different elements of life, mm-hmm. right? And make it harmonious, and how does my life flow? And that's always usually how we manage to never have the time to do what we need to do. Mm-hmm. So when we see Temperance and Death, that is a 1-2 sucker punch. Like, that is not pretty. It is not easy. It's a Mike Tyson KO first round. You know, it's really like, and now that's over forever. Yeah. It's a very permanent feeling.
Yeah.
And the only way that it could come up for you was a disruption in time. Mm-hmm. So time is going to feel disrupted as you come into this. Now, I understand where we're going through a pandemic and everyone's time is being disrupted, and that doesn't seem so intuitive. However, this is about a completely new way of life. So there's a plan that's been here that's being hatched. Like, something is going on in your brain. Mm-hmm. And it's about this idea of, how do I do this? Something new needs to come through. So I've got this thing that I want to present to the world. Mm-hmm. Interesting, your question was, how do I help use my abilities, my talents for the world? The Ace of Swords is really about presenting something with a lot of fanfare and a lot of dynamic out into the world to change your world. So this is a new way of life. So really something that's going on here is a new way of life. Now, it has to do with a philosophy, something that speaks to your soul, because the Ace of Swords has the DNA helix in it. It is about touching into something very deep, something that you believe in and something that you believe really is there to benefit the world. Mm-hmm. It's not an insincere question. It's very sincere. It's the willingness to say, I'm willing to give up almost everything to follow this idea. And it's really an idea. It's like, I want to do this. So I want to say to you that you have this notion of wanting to write a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this book has something to do with, and I know people say, like, you're meant to write a book. I actually feel like you have chapters, outlines, thoughts. I actually feel like you have a storyboard or something to that effect, like, I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to talk about that, and I want this. I actually believe that you have something that you want to say.
Uh-huh, yes.
And I believe that it's in this form.
Yes.
And I believe that this is an important part of what you need to do in this period of time, because part of this book is kind of a little bit about rewriting the story.
Yeah.
Rewriting this phenomenon.
Yeah.
Of what your life used to be and how it is now.
Yeah,
and it has to do with really accessing the higher self. You know, I think of temperance also as the higher self. You know, the part of our consciousness that can rise above and get a bigger picture here and see how it's all playing into each other. So I believe, honest to God, in 13 to 14 weeks, you're going to sit here and go, I use this time to build this phenomena, mm-hmm. and something's going to come out of that. And within a year, you're going to have something really to present. And that what you're doing right now as a job, a main job, is going to continue to recede and fade away. And you're going to step into a whole new way of living, income, life, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So you're in a very powerful transition. Again, when I think of death and temperance together, it is a psychic leveling. Like, holy shit. Like, it's gone. It's gone, and something's died, and that very faint star that I've always talked about is now going to become the way that I navigate my world. And it's powerful. It's very powerful.
Do you have a question
you want to ask about it?
No, that makes perfect sense, and I love that, and thank you. And it's funny because temperance is a card I've been personally working with, because as we were talking at the beginning of the episode, things that, like, I used to just do because that's what I did, and I've let go of some things in my life, or I just don't have the energy. Things that I used to be able to do on autopilot, it feels just like walking through quicksand to do. Whereas, I am writing a book, and it was somewhat put on pause for a while, and like my writing, my reading, and healing work with clients, it's like, that's just, it's like when you said you had this call to action, I feel like I was just like, now is the time to do this work. And there's a reason that I've always been kind of sort of drawn to it. And now this is like full stop. Yeah. So that made so much sense. And thank you. That's beautiful. It's funny. I love all three of those cards. I actually struggle with temperance the most, but I love the death card. I'm so excited about the Scorpio full moon for that reason. I really, really embrace that. So thank you so much. That is beautiful and such an unexpected gift to get that reading. So thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Well, I am going to link back to your information so anyone who wants to reach out to you about classes or working with you can. And thank you again so much. I could talk to Christopher forever. And based on the feedback that I got from all of the comments and requests for him to come back on, I know that you could listen to him forever probably as well. And even though he was on the podcast first last summer, almost a year ago, I was still getting requests and comments. Bring him back. So I'm so glad he was able to come back. I know he's super busy, but now more than ever, we need more Christophers in this world. So before we head out, I just wanted to confirm I will still be doing my Instagram lives every Monday. So tomorrow coming up at 7:30 Eastern time, it's a great place to get a free live mini reading. If you're able to tune in, you can also send through questions in advance through my website or through @CardsEB on Instagram. And as I've mentioned, I'm also just doing a lot more free content. I'm trying to get as much out there that's helpful and healing in this time. You can still check out my free intro to tarot class available at modernsanctuary.com. I'll post the links to all of this in the notes to this podcast as well. And I have a free tarot Q&A coming up this Thursday, which I will link to as well. The May tarot scopes are still up on BCBG. So if you missed it and want to check out your tarot scope according to your zodiac sign, that's on the BCBG site, which again, I'll provide all the links in the notes. I hope that, you know, this content is helping get you through this time. I appreciate so much all of the beautiful DMs, emails and messages and all of the donations. I truly, truly am so grateful for all of you, and you inspire me to keep going and put content out there. So I love you all so much. Stay safe, and as always, stay magical AF.